Thank you very much for the introduction, and good morning, everyone. So the work that I'm going to be presenting today is on two portions of my master's thesis being conducted at the University of Massachusetts Amherst, and the focus of my thesis is to determine the association between in vitro propiconazole sensitivity and field efficacy among native sclerotinia homeocarpa populations. So dollar spot, as we all know, is the causal agent, or sclerotinia homeocarpa is the causal agent of dollar spot. It's a sterile ascomycete fungus, meaning it doesn't produce spores. So it's a major pathogen on turf grass, as we've heard about earlier this morning, and especially on golf courses. So due to the wide range of environmental conditions that favor dollar spot development, multiple fungicide applications are typically applied each year. However, due to the yearly selection pressure of multiple fungicide applications, fungicide resistance has developed to the benzimidazole, dicarboxamide, and demethylation inhibitor fungicide classes. And the demethylation inhibitor, or the DMI class, in which propiconazole is among, is what we'll talk about today. So the reason for this is, especially in the Northeast region, in 2010, Putman et al. Reported reduced DMI in vitro sensitivity. And this also agrees with other regional monitoring studies for fungicide resistance within the United States as well. However, the main problem with this research is that although we've detected reductions in vitro sensitivity, we won't really understand the relationship between those in vitro reductions in sensitivity and actual practical field resistance. So the work that I'm going to talk about today is going to be focused on explaining that relationship. So today's presentation is going to be broken up into two main experiments. And the first experiment, we'll talk about defining practical field resistance, basically through field efficacy testing as well as in vitro sensitivity. And the second experiment, we developed this objective after seeing the results from the first experiment, and essentially wanted to develop an alternative method to detect practical field-resistant isolates. So now we'll move on to the objectives for experiment one. And our main objective, or our first objective, was to determine field efficacy at a baseline population, or a population with no prior fungicide exposure, as well as four other populations from golf courses that had prior fungicide exposure and that may or may not be practically field-resistant. And then our second objective was to determine the association between these locations in terms of in vitro sensitivity and field efficacy. So that is, if we're seeing practical field resistance, what sort of in vitro sensitivity is correlated to this practical reduction in field efficacy? So as I mentioned before, we dealt with five different locations, the first of which I'll talk about quite a bit today, is the Joseph Troll Research Facility. And that was our baseline location. In this location, not having any prior DMI fungicide exposure. The four golf courses listed below were all routinely used to treat for dollar spot. So they did have some exposure, and practical field resistance hadn't adequately really been determined there yet. So we used six different treatments in order to test for field efficacy, four of which were propiconazole, which is from the DMI class. And today I'm just going to focus on the 0.44 and 0.8 kilogram of AI per hectare treatments, because those represent the low and the high label rates. Chlorothalonil was also included because it's a multi-site mode of action fungicide, and there's no prior reports of fungicide resistance to this active ingredient. So treatments were applied on 21-day application interval, and approximately three applications were made in both 2009 and 2010, and the experiment was set up in a randomized complete block design at all locations. So in order to evaluate disease severity, individual infection centers were counted within each plot each week, and from that, the area under disease progress curve values were then calculated, and then for today's purposes, they've been converted to relative control percentage in order to compare disease severity among the locations. So in vitro sensitivity was determined by sampling symptomatic leaf blades, and we did this at three different sample times, but more importantly is we collected 10 symptomatic leaf blades from 10 different infection centers within each plot within the experiment. So there was a total of 240 isolates collected at each sampling time, and in total over the 2 years we were able to collect over 4,500 isolates. So getting back to the sample times, we sampled before application and then also 7 days after treatment and 21 days after the final application. And I want to bring to your attention the 7 day after treatment sampling. So propiconazole is labeled to control dollar spot for a minimum of 14 days. And the 7 day after treatment sample and sampled infection centers that were present 7 days after treatment. So that implies that these infection centers are causing practical field resistant, and the isolates sampled from them would also be practical field resistant isolates. So the next thing we did was we determined propiconazole sensitivity. And since we were screening so many isolates, we went with the single discriminatory concentration to determine sensitivity. And we used 0.1 parts per million of propiconazole. And from that, we determined relative mycelium growth with the formula shown. So now we're going to move on to the results. I'm going to summarize the field efficacy data from 2009 and 2010. And then I'm going to show the in vitro sensitivity data, but just from 2009, because we saw very similar results from both 2009 and 2010. So if we look at the 2009 field efficacy data, we'll see treatments are located on the x-axis and the relative control percentage is on the y-axis. And p-values below treatments indicate significant differences among locations within each treatment. So we'll notice here that, first of all, within the blue bars here, which represent our baseline population, we see that both the low and the high label rate of propiconazole, they're showing the highest relative control percentage. And then within the low label rate, our four populations with prior DMI exposure are all significantly different. We move up to the high label rate, we'll see that Hickory Ridge Country Club in the green bars and in the yellow bars, Shuttle Metal Country Club, are not significantly different from the baseline populations, but nor are they significantly different from our populations with prior exposure. We'll see the chlorothalonil was not significantly different among location. So then we'll move on to 2010 and basically see the same overall trend here, and that our baseline population is showing the highest relative control percentage, and that and under the low label rate, our four populations with prior DMI exposure are showing either practical field resistance or reduced efficacy when compared to our baseline population. One thing that I'd like to point out among the two propiconazole treatments is that the yellow bars, Shuttle Metal Country Club, they're not statistically different from our baseline population, nor are they different from our three other populations with prior exposure. So in terms of resistance, they're probably somewhat more of an intermediately resistant population. And then once again, despite what seemed like obvious differences, chlorothalonil actually wasn't significantly different. So now we're going to move on to the in vitro sensitivity portion, and this was determined, so we're seeing efficacy reductions, but why exactly are we seeing efficacy reductions? So on the x-axis here, we'll see the relative mycelium growth percentages, and as that increases, so does insensitivity. On the y-axis, we're going to see the frequency in the population, and on the z-axis, the locations are labeled. So we're going to look at three things here, and first of all, the blue bars here represent our baseline population, and we'll see that we do not see any sensitivity greater than 40% relative mycelium growth, or RMG. Another interesting thing that we did notice here is that among the red and the green bars, Hartford Golf Club and Hickory Ridge Country Club, we see a bimodal population structure in that we see a sensitive subpopulation as well as an insensitive subpopulation. And then the back two populations among Shuttle Metal Country Club and Wintonberry Country Club, we see a unimodal population structure that's more insensitive from our baseline population. So before we made any applications, we were seeing some differences in population structure indicating our four populations with prior exposure are more insensitive. So what's really interesting is when we took samples from infection centers 7 days after treatment, we noticed that we were unable to sample from our baseline location, that is because we didn't see infection centers 7 days after treatment. But two other interesting things that we noticed is that our bimodal populations, Hickory Ridge Country Club and Hartford Golf Club, the red and the green bars, the sensitive subpopulations no longer present 7 days after treatment. So we can see that we've selected the insensitive subpopulation. But moreover, we see that of our four populations with reduced efficacy, RMG values are consistently above 50%. So we're able to associate relative mycelium growth values above 50% with practical field resistance or reductions in field efficacy. Now we'll look at the 2009 final sampling as well, and we see that our baseline population here is pretty similar to what we saw in the initial sampling, almost all isolates below 40% RMG. And then we look at our four populations with reduced efficacy, and we see that same trend, that most of the isolates are clustered above the 50% RMG range. So I'll summarize what we were able to find from the first experiment. And overall, our two-year field study confirmed reduced field efficacy among our four populations with prior DMI exposure or practical field resistance. But then more importantly, answering the big question that we want to answer today is, we're able to isolate RMG, or able to associate RMG values above 50% with practical field resistance or infection centers being caused 7 days after treatment from these four locations. So therefore, we determine that RMG values above 50% are really equivalent to practical field resistance. So after the 2009 data, and we looked at and measured, you know, thousands of petri dishes, essentially, we decided that, you know, we're seeing such a strong association, maybe we can come up with an alternative method to detect these practical field-resistant isolates. So that's what Experiment 2 is about. It's basically to develop a qualitative detection assay for practical field-resistant isolates. So essentially, isolates that are practically field-resistant are going to grow on the concentration that we choose, and sensitive isolates are going to be completely inhibited. So we look at the materials and methods. We use the same five populations, and we picked a subset of isolates from the 7 day after treatment sampling. And we use the 7 day after treatment sampling because we know that propiconazole isolates are practically field resistant. And we know that in the untreated isolates sampled from untreated plots, we should be able to detect some sensitive isolates, especially from those two bimodal populations that had the sensitive subpopulations as well. So we conducted the standard in vitro fungicide sensitivity assay, and we included three concentrations, 0.3, 0.5, and 1 part per million of propiconazole to determine a qualitative discriminatory concentration. So as far as results go, I'm going to show you some pictures to explain why we chose the concentrations and then show a table to summarize the data. So if we look at a baseline isolate from the Joseph Troll Research Facility, we see that at 0.5 and 3 parts per million, we're still seeing a little bit of mycelium growth. So we're not seeing complete inhibition and not achieving our goal thus. At the 1 part per million concentration, we are seeing pretty much complete mycelial inhibition. We do see a small amount of aerial mycelium coming out of the plug, but it's not actually making contact onto the auger surface. When we compare this to a field-resistant isolate from Hickory Ridge Country Club, we see a robust growth at 1 part per million that's easily distinguished from one part per million growth of a baseline isolate. So therefore, we decided to choose the 1 part per million isolate for qualitative detection. So now I'll summarize the following results in the table here. And the frequency of isolates represents the percentage of isolates that were grown on 1 part per million. You're going to notice from the propiconazole-treated plots, which we were able to determine reduced efficacy, that our four populations in which we noticed reduced efficacy, all of these isolates are growing, So it's indicating that our practical field-resistant isolates, we're being able to detect them on this concentration, whereas our baseline isolates, we're not seeing any growth on that concentration, which is what we want to see, basically qualitative differentiation. And then on the untreated plots, we see that within our two bimodal populations, that we only see a percentage of the isolates grown, and that's what we expect. We want to be able to inhibit sensitive isolates within those two populations. So overall, what we were able to determine is that 1 part per million of propiconazole qualitatively detected practical field-resistant isolates. So this gives us another method in which to determine or detect practical field resistance. So overall, to conclude from our two experiments, we were able to determine that reduced propiconazole efficacy was strongly associated with isolates exhibiting RMG values above 50%, and we determined these to be practical field-resistant isolates. And furthermore, we were also able to detect these practical field-resistant isolates at an increased discriminatory concentration of 1 part per million. So basically, these give us two tools to detect practical field-resistant isolates. So in the future, we'd continue to like to look at more field populations to evaluate this qualitative discriminatory concentration, chiefly intermediate populations. And we'd also like to develop more strategies in which superintendents can manage populations with confirmed DMI resistance. So with that, I'd like to acknowledge all the people that have helped me, my thesis advisor, Dr. Gunhwa Jung, our lab members, golf course superintendents, and everyone. So. Thank you very much, and thank you very much for listening. And if I have some time, I'll take some questions. Yes?
The golf courses that you sample from, do they still use DMI fungicides, and how successful are they with the DMI that they still use?
So after 2009, we prepared reports and we made presentations to the four golf course superintendents and essentially recommended for them not to use DMI fungicides anymore, and said this is, you know, what your control is going to be. However, with 2010 kind of being such a difficult year environmentally, some of the golf courses still use DMIs, but dollar spot pressure within the Northeast was actually relatively low. So it's very difficult to evaluate how effective that still was. But we're urging golf course superintendents to use alternative modes of action, fungicide classes with alternative modes of action, yes. Yes?
Do you have an idea of what EC50 values start seeing growth in one
person? Excuse me, what was that again?
Do you know at what EC50 value of the isolate that you start seeing growth in one part?
So the question was, at what EC50 value do you start seeing growth of the one on the one part per million? We looked at EC50 values from approximately 36 isolates. And if I remember correctly, we're starting to see growth at one part per million on EC50 values of 0.15 micrograms of AI per milliliter, or parts per million.
Okay, that's all we have time for. Let's thank our speakers.